Good evening, everybody. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm glad to be here tonight. I've been looking forward to this all week. And I just appreciate the Lord letting us all come together and be able to assemble on this side of glory one more time together. And I want to ask Buford if he feels like it to lead us in a song. Thank you, Brother Buford. I feel like, again, we need to go to the Lord in prayer. And to me, I think that's an important part of our Wednesday night service. And, you know, we need to... That's exactly right, Paul. And I don't know about anybody else, but I need your all's prayers. And we need each other's. Our nation needs our prayers. And there's just... can't number the loss that's out there that... They need our prayers. So anyone have a prayer request? Bless you, Paul. Bless you, Buford. Bless you, Bud. Bless you, Dad. Bless you, Dad. Bless you. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, bless you. Bless you, Griffin. Bless you, Willard. Well, I'm glad we got the Lord to go to. Thank you all. Bless you, Mr. Griffin. Any unspoken? all that can and like to gather around the altar, please. Have any requests in the parking lot? Good to have you all with us. Had a thought on my mind all week long. And the Lord hadn't really given me any scripture to go with it till today. And I kept wondering about it and thinking, well, maybe that's not what He wants, you know, the thought that He gave me. But He settled me on it today, and I'm just grateful for that. Be two places we'll be sharing scripture with you, being 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, then Matthew chapter 8, and maybe following the Lord to be His will, chapter 7. First Corinthians in chapter 12, and we'll begin with verse 3. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And I got to thinking about that. And you know, it's pretty easy for us to say, you know, Jesus is Lord. But how far are we willing to take that? You know, what does that mean to us? And I got to think about what does it mean to me? And the Lord showed me some scripture of what, I don't know, I can't speak for nobody else, but I know how I need to start looking at this. In Matthew chapter 8, and we'll begin with verse 5. That's a good sound. Oh, yeah, that's a good sound. Matthew chapter 8, begin with verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto him that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And you know, this centurion understood what authority was. And you know, I got to think about how the Lord needs to be in a place of authority to us. Not in fear, you know, not us serving Him out of fear, but out of love. And here's truly this guy, this centurion understood that there was people over him. He had to take orders from somebody and carry those orders out to the letter, because if he didn't, it could possibly mean death. And also the same way, when he gave orders, he expected them to be carried out to the letter. No wavering or not halfway doing it or anything. It made me think of growing up, one place we lived, we had an electric fence around all the property. And it was part of my job and to go around that at least once a week with one of these hand sickles and keep the weeds cut off of that. Dad, when he'd come in, he'd go inspect it. And if he found a weed on it somewhere, we'd get fired up and we didn't go back to where the weed was at. You went all the way around it again. But that taught me authority. And I began to think about the Lord. You know, when he asks us to do something, how quickly and how urgently do we obey Him? And I got to thinking about, you know, when he come across Peter and John, fishermen, and he just walked up to them. I'm supposing that he had never met them and they'd never met him. Maybe they heard some word about him, I don't know. But he walked up to them and he said, follow me. He just walked up to them and said, follow me. And you remember what they done? They dropped their nets right then. Didn't say, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? Who are you? Nothing. And when he come across, I remember the Lord brought to my attention about Matthew, the tax collector. Walked up to him and said, follow me. He got up and followed him. Boy, if I could learn. Again, I can't say nothing about you all, but I know me. This guy that I look at in the mirror every morning, like Brother Buford was saying the other day, I have more trouble out of him than anybody that I come in contact with. And if I could help him, if I could help him to be that obedient to the Lord when he bid me to do something, boy, wouldn't it be a wonderful life? Can you imagine what we could see the Lord do? And if our church could come together like that, oh, boy, I tell you what. And the Lord, I believe He would pour His Spirit out and we could see things that our eyes wouldn't behold. Wouldn't that just be the most wonderful thing that could happen? But I also thought, you know, that's good and that's great, and I pray that I can learn to be that obedient toward the Lord. Like I said, I don't believe we could imagine what kind of life that would be. But he brought me to another place. In Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus has shared several parables with them. Talked about the tree and the fruit that's on the tree. You'll know a tree by its fruit. But in verse 21, chapter 7, he also said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." That's pretty simple, isn't it? I don't think that takes a lot of explaining. I don't think we had anything to that. So we're going to leave that right there. We'll just leave that right there. I think the Lord said that as good as it can be said. So that's what the Lord has put on my heart to share with you. And I desire your prayers that I would, when Jesus told that centurion, the centurion didn't demand him that he didn't come to his house. He wasn't being demanding or ordering or anything. He just said, I'm not worthy. He realized, that Jesus was the Son of God and that he had that authority and that power. Whatever he would say would happen. He recognized that. And Jesus didn't tell him to do anything, but he told him, go your way, your servant's healed. And that's simply, I don't recall the centurion arguing with him or doubting or anything. He left and went. And as he was going, they met him on the way. Now, to me, that's a good testimony. If I could learn to be that obedient. And he understood. He just needed to do what Jesus told him. Go and believe. So I desire your prayers that I'll go and believe. Anyone have anything you need to like to do for the Lord? Could I throw something else in here just real quick? I've had a lot of people from time to time tell me, "Gene, the Lord told me to do this. Gene, the Lord told me to do that." And, I've even, when sometimes the Lord puts this on my heart. And to me, there's one good, real quick test to know whether it's of the Lord or not. And it's not a hard test. You don't have to go to extensive studies or anything. If what you're about to do, you feel like the Lord's wanting you to do, if it's going to be a blessing to somebody, you can kind of look ahead and look and see what the cause and effect's going to be of it. If it's going to be a blessing to somebody, you can be willing to bet this from the Lord. If it's going to cause confusion or trouble, you better just leave it alone. It ain't the Lord. It's an imposter. Amen. Amen, Brother Paul. So that's a real simple test, ain't it? A lot of people don't take the time. God's Word said to try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. And that's that Holy Spirit that the Lord is asking you to make sure that it's Him. So anyone got anything? I'm done. I love you. I want you to know you and say I love you. So I'm going to turn it over to Brother Paul.
That was amazing. I'm like Gene. I've wrestled with stuff all day. Wonder about stuff. Think about stuff. They one thing about the Lord there. I was reading today, I believe it was in Mark. It might have been in Matthew, but Jesus told them about the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, "Now listen to what they say, but don't do what they do." He said, "They'll bind heavy burdens and loads on you, but they won't lift a finger to do nothing." And I thought about while he's reading there, if you study about it, about that soldier, he was a man of authority. And like he said, he also was under authority. He had to answer to somebody. And those men that was under him had to answer to him. And I guess the whole thing is just being obedient to the Word of God. Because if you go on and look at that thing and what he's talking about there, if you don't, it's going to be like he said there. Everybody says, Lord, Lord, ain't going, but them that do the will of the Father. And I thought about it, and the Lord just give me this today as well. I want to go back over here in Moses' life. And God sent him down there to bring deliverance to a people. Then when they got down there and started bringing them out, they became rebellious, murmuring and complaining. Right here, and I'm going to show you tonight, maybe read one verse of Scripture in Exodus chapter number 16, if you'll turn there tonight, and think about this. Got a lot to share with you, but I want to... That centurion, he went away, like Jesus said, and they met him. He said, when did he say that? When did he tell you it'd be all right? Jesus will always match up what he says. There won't be no doubt. There won't be no confusion. Won't be no wondering. Who said that? Is that of God or not? And you know what happened? He was healed. He's touched. Faith. He said, I've not seen so much faith. No, not in Israel, this man had. And Moses, when he was leading God's people to that promised land, don't you imagine he must have had to have faith to do that? And I'm sure on the journey, his faith maybe was tried by the fire at times, and he got in a place. Let me read this, and I'm going to say this. I remember one time I got aggravated, and I studied about that thing, and it was in church, and he wasn't here. It was the first church I pastored, but I got aggravated. And I got to thinking about that. I don't like to be like that. But the thing about it was, they pushed me to that point. Just like Moses was pushed to a point here. I mean, just like you think, as Gene said already, if it edifies the body, if it builds up the body, if it helps somebody, it's probably of God. But if it's confusion and self-centered, towards being drawn attention to you or something, something's wrong with that. It ain't about me, it's about the Lord. But anyway, look right here in chapter number 16 of the book of Exodus. And I'm going to read verse number 35 and pay close attention to this. I don't know why it is this way tonight, but I'm just going to give you what I feel like the Lord's give me for the time tonight. But in Exodus 16, verse 35 said, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. You may be seated. Now, you'll see here that you can go back here and you can look at this, and they begin to say, Lord, what have you done now? You brought us out here and we're going to die out here. We ain't got nothing to eat. They ain't got nothing we ain't got nothing. And Lord Moses said, now what am I going to do? Lord said, I've got to a place now that, he said, they're ready to stone me. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to rain down quail for the evening meal. And he said, they're going to get up in the morning. They're going to see a wafer on the ground. And they're going to realize that God done this, that God is a provider. And the Lord, I mean, he laid it out just exactly how to do it. He said, now remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. And that day there, Moses told him, he said, now, He said, now, when you get up of a morning and your wafers is iron and you go out and your quail's on the ground of evening, he said, but you got, he said, on the sixth day, he said, you got to give her enough to make do for tomorrow. He said, boil it, and he said, it won't go bad, it won't stink. And he said that don't go out on the Sabbath day. And the Bible said that there was some went out on the Sabbath day anyway, but they couldn't find nothing. So just look how that people are. I mean, there's a place and a time for everything, and the Bible said that God had gave them manna to eat for 40 years and brought them to the border. Now, and I believe tonight we've got the opportunity to make it to heaven, to go to heaven, but we ain't got there yet. We're just maybe, if you will, tonight we're on the borders. We're on the border ready to getting ready to cross over, Donnie. I've not got there yet, but I believe if I follow the Word of God and the ways of God and the statutes and the laws of God, I believe one day after a while I'll get right there at that border, and you know what? When the spirit of life leaves this body, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. One of these days, we're going to cross that border. Anyway, and let's go on here just for a few minutes tonight. I'm gonna be taking my scripture tonight out of chapter 17. But before we get to 17, I mean after we leave 17, you're gonna meet a man, and he's named Jethro. He was Moses' father-in-law, and boy, he looked and seen what God had done for Israel and bringing them out of Egypt and all that He had done. But I mean, there was just so much going on there. And Jethro said, now listen, Moses, he said, now you're going to wire away. He said, you need to choose out men over thousands and over hundreds and over ten. He said, let them judge the small things and take care of the minor things and the little thing goes on in your church. He said, let them deal with it themselves. He said, but the big things, he said, you better take care of it. So that just tells me tonight is that we're on the border. We've not made it there yet, and that we just need to have God give us wisdom and understanding and the ability how to live right, love God, love our neighbor, and so on and so forth. But these things in your life, you're going to have to deal with yourself. But as far as this platform right here, I believe you'll just leave it to me. That makes sense? But anyway, And Jethro, after he done that, you know what, he went on to his own country. But let's look right here in chapter number 17 tonight at this scripture here, and think about what we just said, how that the Lord led them to the border there. And you know, told them what to eat of a morning, what to eat of an evening, and how to do it, and how to prepare it. You don't worry, you got a lot in your tent. It'll be sufficient. If you ain't got this little in your tent, it'll be sufficient. I mean, God's going to take care of you. But just trust in Him, believe in Him, believe what He says, and don't discuss it. Don't try to evaluate what it means, what it says. It says it like this. Everybody that says, Lord, Lord, ain't going. That's what it says, and that's well enough said. But anyway, here, look it with me tonight in the 17th chapter. The Bible said they journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journey, according to the command of the Lord, and pitched in Radom, and there was no water for the people to drink. And the Bible said, wherefore the people did chide, verse 2, with Moses, and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide with me? Wherefore do you tempt? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of the land of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? See, this ain't the first time that they complained and murmured about their journey. journey. I'm going to tell you tonight, beloved, everything ain't a bed of roses, and the journey ain't going to be, there's times in our lives that I believe this tonight, there'll be times in your life and times in my life that we feel like the Lord's put us in a difficult place and a struggling place. Let me tell you what, let me tell you two things God will help you and do for you when you go out while you're on the journey. If you fall, he'll catch you, and if he don't catch you, he'll teach you how to fly. I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, I'd rather fail trying for God than to just sit down and murmur and complain all the time. I'd rather try for God, and if I fall, he'll catch me, and if he don't catch me, he'll teach me how to fly. And here they are now, wanting water to drink, youngins and all the cattle, they ain't to die. They're going to die, Moses. What are we going to do now? And verse number 4, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do? This people, they're almost ready to stone me. What am I going to do, Lord? They're about ready to kill me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherein thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Now, Moses, we're going to show them again. I'm going to prove it again what's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you sometimes along the journey, the old man of God gets weary. He's human just like everybody else. He's got problems just like everybody else. He needs to surround himself with people that'll trust God. Not trust the ability of man, but trust what God said. Trust the word of God. He said, now Moses, go on before them. He said, and take that rod with you. I'm going to tell you, as long as I've got this right here tonight, I believe I'll be all right, and I believe you will too. I've always said this. You go down to the potter's house, down in the book of Jeremiah, the potter, he'll never touch the clay without water, and a man of God oughtn't to never touch his people without the rod. The rod is straight. The rod's got a crook in it. There's different ways to look at the rod. There's a rod, the rod of blessing. There's a rod of correction. There's a rod of, the word of God, it will do what it says it'll do, and it'll accomplish where God sends it. If we'll just have it, we'll receive it and not rebel against it, not chide against the man of God and the ways of God. If we'll just trust this book, will be all right. I don't believe that, preacher. Well, that's between you and God. I don't believe the Lord sent me down there. That's between you and God. I don't believe the Lord sent you down there, Paul. That's between you and God. You say the Lord sent you down here. That's between you and God. But anyway, let's go on right here. And verse number 6, he said, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, it's the Lord. Because they said, is the Lord among us or not? There have been times in your life, and you've been to church, and it ain't always walking on water. It ain't, and you wonder, well, did God send that, or did it, what is this? You ever been in a place of you thinking, well, is the Lord in this or not? Well, the only thing I know to tell you is just be still and wait and watch and see. If God's in it, it'll help people. If God's in it, it'll be a blessing. But I tell you what it'll do to this worldly crowd. They'll go to murmuring and complaining. Ain't got no water. Ain't got nothing to drink. My family's going to die. Well, I know what Isaiah said. He said, "Ho, he that's thirsty, let him come to the waters." If you want to go, if you want to drink, you got to go where the rods are smoking the rock. Where the water's coming out. There'll be a proof of the purchase. There'll be elders around that'll see the proof of it. Let's go on. I'm not up to where I'm going yet. All right, now. In verse number 8, said, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim." Now, don't it look like tonight that seems like every time the Lord goes to blessing and people begin to get fed and begin to get their thirst met and begin to God begins to happen in people's life, don't it seem like the devil will show up? Paul said, "When I do good, evil's present." I know tonight what, as you look at this, I'm like Gene said, I know that bird in that looking glass. That's the one I have trouble with. But I'll guarantee you every time God's blessings will begin to flow in people's life, it'll stir up the devil. And let's look right here. And they'll always fight. They'll always be an obstacle or an enemy. You'll see at the end of this book, this chapter. And verse number 9, "And Moses said unto Joshua, choose you out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." He said, "Now go out, choose you some good warriors, choose you some good men." He said, "Go out." He said, "I'm going to go up on top of the mountain. I'm going to hold the rod of God. I'm going to show you that God's word will prevail." Look here what happened. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Now look here, guys. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose you out men and go fight with Amalek." He said, "I will stand on top of the hill with the rod God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Now think about this. Here the battle's raging. Moses is up on top of the hill, and it seems like that these two men right here, they had something in mind when they went to the top. They had something in mind. They no doubt felt a calling or something that drew them to the top of that hill, because they knew they were going to be used and needed of the old man of God on top of the hill. See, everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," is not going. "He that doeth the will of the Father." These people that lag around, don't ever come to church, they lay out, and they do everything else. They can work, and they can do this, and they can do that. I wonder if they're going to make it. God's Bible said, "Forget not the assembling of yourself together." And the matter is, as some is, even more as you see the day of church, the day approaching. I wonder if these Sunday morning people are going to make it. People don't come to church, something's wrong. There's something wrong in here if you're able to go and do everything else, but I put God on the and on the place and you just want to come at your convenience, something's wrong. If I done that, you would have done run me off. Just preach it like it is. Let's go on right here. Buck said, "Bless you, brother." He knows I'm telling the truth. I've got a few elders around here that you can smoke the rock and they'll back you. But anyway, here Joshua done as Moses said, and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. This tells me tonight, I don't care who you got, who you are, where you go, if you quit holding this up, it ain't going to work. If you go to taking this out and replacing it with this or that, it ain't going to work. That doesn't matter who you are, man, woman, boy, or girl. I mean, it doesn't matter. If you go to letting this down, you're going to fail. Look here. Verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat there on. I don't know how long the battle is. I'll tell you how long it's going to be. It's going to be from generation to generation. That's how long the battle is going to be. And we as the people of God, we need to learn what the sound of the trumpet is. We need to realize if it's a sound of celebration, we can walk on the water and we can preach hope and we can smile and boy, we can leave happy. But there comes a time, praise God, that we got to realize that maybe it gets heavy sometimes. And sometimes we got to have something to lean on that we know that'll always be there. They put that rock under him. Not only did he put the rock under him, the Bible said, and Aaron and Hur stayed on his hands. The one on one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And he holds your arms up. You know what this young man done a while ago in that prayer request that he made? He said, I'm going to hold your arm up tonight, preacher. What he done? Boy, I felt that. Praise the Lord. They held his arms up. How many times on this journey, Donnie, have we had to have people to help hold our arms up? When people go to murmuring and complaining about no water or this or that, I tell you what, it's wearisome. It'll make the devil say, just throw in the towel. This will turn the reins loose. You know what God said? God said, hold the rod up. He said, and smoke the rock, and the water's coming out, and the elders of Israel will see it. And pray, God, when you get weary on your journey, there'll be a bend and a hurry. Hold your arms up. As long as your arms is held up, and you're going to win the victory. Listen to that. What's that mean? Strengthen the feeble knees. What's it mean when you hold your arms up? It means you're experiencing the victory. When your head's down and your arms is down, you're being defeated. Look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thank God tonight. I mean, we as the people of God, we ought to be able to, I mean, I don't know how to do it. I have done it a few times. I've been able to rejoice in the midst of the battle. And he anointeth my head with oil, and my cup runneth over, and prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy. And thank God tonight, when your arms is held up, you're experiencing the victory. But what happens when they go to letting your arms down? What happens when they go to pulling a rock out from under you? Defeat. We better look at this. They held his arms up. There was victory. Let me tell you what the devil has always wanted to do. I'm going to tell you tonight. The devil has always wanted to destroy the leaders. Because if he can destroy the leaders, the other people don't have a chance. If he can destroy the leaders, the other people won't have a chance. Would to God people would look and open their eyes up and realize and see what the devil's trying to do. I tell you what a lot of them's going to do. They're going to believe a lie and be damned. Let's hold our arms up. Let's hold each other's arms up. Let's keep the water flowing. Let's keep God out front in everything. And I'll guarantee you, I'll tell you what happened. We'll have to fight the Amalekites from generation to generation. But as long as we'll put this right here at the forefront and help each other along the journey, I'll guarantee you victory's on the way. I was reading there, I believe it's in the book of Isaiah today. He said, praise God, the blind would see, the lame would walk. And he said, the sign would stop. And when the sign stopped, joy and praise and honor, glory to God, it's on the way. But I'm telling you tonight, guys, sometimes when you get weary, just help me hold my arms up with God's word. And we fight the battles. God said, be still and stand still. Hold your arms up. Hold the word of God up. And you will prevail. The only thing that I know tonight is, guys, we have to have each other's help, each other's encouragement, and the blessings of God will flow. It may be dry. Listen, guys, listen. The preacher saith, there's a time and a season for everything. There's a time to plant. There's a time to harvest. There's a time to sow. There's a time to reap. There's a time to live. There's a time to die. There's a time and a season for everything. And churches will go through the different seasons. But by the grace of God, we'll hold this up, hold each other up. I'll guarantee you, praise God. The harvest is on the way. Just stand to your feet. I'm done. They complained and
God gave them quails and wafers. And Jethro told Moses, he said, you better get you out some good men to heck. And there's gonna be times in the middle of all this, you're gonna have to make the help of young. They do that.
You make sure you put that out there in the forefront, and everything else will fall in place. Because he took them to the border. A lot of them didn't get the crops. A lot of them died in the wilderness. I don't want to die out there in the wilderness. And I know I don't have the old Ed Cook, that Bible chapter, he's not dead young. Led me as far as they could. The other ones down through the years have led me as far as they could. God's always seeking to Joshua. You'll see him being in the herd. I hope he covers arms up. But you make sure when you go to holding my arms up, I've got this out here. What are you going to say, preacher? Well, let's see what this says. Victory. They sung a song of her word today. Victory in Jesus. I put 165 in your book, 120 to go. Praise the Lord. Glad the Lord let me come tonight. Anything before we dismiss? Hey, you boys go back there and take up the talk for tonight. I didn't do that Sunday night. Yeah. Thank you.
looking at the blind.